If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56diva.com. Lower.com, Equal Housing Lender, MLS 112-4061.
There's Bob Bertog, the president of the Bertog Landscape Company. Welcome back, Mr. Bertog.
Hi, John. How are you this week?
Pretty good. I'll bet you're busy these days.
Just a little bit, yeah.
Mowing, planting, fertilizing. What's a professional landscape business up to on April 23rd?
This is the time of year we're doing a lot of lawn restorations. I don't know, for whatever reason, I'm going to go with lack of snow. Grass really isn't coming out of dormancy so hot. It needs a little boost. So we're doing, find ourselves with a lot of top dressing and seeding.
Are you doing the aeration a lot too?
Yes, but you got to be careful this time of year because if the ground is mushy, if it's too wet, you're going to tear it up. So you got to use a little common sense before you just go putting a machine on it. But yeah, we are doing some aeration as well, yes.
Isn't that about the best thing you can do just generically for a lawn? No, everybody could benefit from that, right?
Absolutely. It's one of the best things you can do for your lawn. Fall is the best time to do it. Spring is the second best. And if you really have really bad compacted soil, do it twice a year.
And shy of hiring you, which I recommend people do, he's the president of the Bertog Landscape Company. I can rent a thing to do that too, right? It'd be nice if Home Depot sold a little gizmo I could just roll up and down.
Well, what people do, I encourage people to do if they're weekend warriors, what you could do is partner up with your neighbors and just rent the thing for the day. And then it's still going to be a lot less expensive for everybody. If you just, you get five neighbors together and the whole thing's $125, it's less expensive to just do it that way. Because I'm sure there's probably a 2-hour minimum.
So then what do you do after that, Bob? Is that the time then to lay seed down or do that before? Like, what would be the protocol?
The protocol is to core-aerate first and then put the top dressing mix over it, then the seed, and then you very lightly hand rake over the top dressing mix so the seed kind of gets put into the top dressing mix. And then if you want, you can roll it with a light roller, not with one of those big heavy rollers, and that way then it really makes good seed-soil contact.
What else is on your mind or should we be thinking about, Bob?
Well, I'd kind of like to see some stuff getting out of dormancy a little faster. Now we're talking about cold weather again this weekend, which is, it's confusing the plants. But I think things are really starting to come around. It's been a really poor showing of spring bulbs this year. They just haven't looked that great. The daffodils and the tulips.
Well, we've had some warm days. But I remarked to my wife the other day, we need more heat. We need just more consistent warm weather to kind of grow these things up. Is there anything to that?
Well, you're 100% correct. And then the soil temperatures are that's what really gets the grass growing, is when it gets into the 50 degrees, which I'm sure it's got to be pretty darn close right now. Because I'm seeing seeds germinate, which usually it takes them to be in the 45 to 50 degree range for the soil in order for the seeds to germinate.
312-981-7200. Bob's here to answer some questions for you. Tom's got one. Tom in Westmont, you're on WGN. What can we do for you, Tom?
Yeah, Bob, a question for you. You've answered this question a lot, but mine is reversed as far as pre-emergent and seed. If I put seed down now, how long till I can put pre-emergent down?
Well, once the seeds germinate, you just go ahead and put it down, but any type of herbicide on a fresh seedling, you run the risk of it going into a little bit of shock. I mean, even though it's a pre-emergent herbicide, it is still a herbicide that's meant to prevent things from germinating. So I'd be careful on that. And again, I'm a big proponent of, I think it's much more effective to use a post-emergent crabgrass control. One, you can see the plants. Two, you can be very specific about where you're spraying it. And you usually start seeing crabgrass late June, early July. And if you get it early enough, what's what they call an early tiller, that's the growth phase of the crabgrass. And if you get it in the one and two tiller, you're going to be a lot more effective.
I get it, though. He wants to. But he's already got his seed down. Go ahead.
I'm in an HOA. And, they come and apply the pre-emergence, and I don't know the date. So if they do it soon, I'll have time to put seed down before the soil gets too hot to germinate. Is that correct? Too warm to germinate.
Hopefully, yeah, hopefully, yes. You can, you know, if they're putting it down now, it's going to stay effective where nothing's going to germinate for probably close to 6 weeks. Now you're, and so now you're going to be close to June, and who knows what the temperatures are going to do then.
I think they're going to be warm.
Well, I think it'll be warm, but if the soil gets too hot, then the seeds won't germinate, or if they do germinate, they're just going to burn up.
Oh, really?
And like if any time the soil temperature is over 75 degrees, which is very common in our zone, you're not going to get seed to germinate. It's just too hot.
Really? Even if you keep it wet, huh?
The moisture won't cool it down. There is a process called syringing, and that's what golf courses do to keep the greens cool and the fairways cool, as they syringe it. It does help, but, well, you know, you've been out in the sun, and it just bakes. It's really hard to control the temperature with just water.
Okay, Bob, you ready for more questions?
Sure.
How about Brad? How can we help you, Brad? You're on WGN.
Yes, question about having moss in our yard, and it looks like it's light green and healthy as can be, but I'm tired of looking at it.
Yeah, you got a nice crop there. You just don't want it, huh?
Well, yeah, it'd be okay in a golf course, I guess, but whatever.
Moss, Bobby.
Well, there's a product available that are specific for moss, because a lot of times you're like a non-selective herbicide doesn't do anything to moss. It's a unique plant. There's a product called I think it's called Wet It and Forget It, which helps if it's like moss growing on like your patio.
Right.
If it's moss within the grass, then I'd be looking for something a little more specific. There are products out there. You probably just have to do a Google search. And, you know, every year they probably come up with a new name of something. But you don't want to just use a standard herbicide, because that will not work.
Okay. Good luck to you on that. Lou Manfredini often talks about Wet It and Forget It as a product to spray on your patio, your roof line, places like that. Maybe Lou's got some thoughts along those lines on Saturday. What about Glenn? You're on WGN. Glenn, can we help you? You're on the air.
Yeah, thanks. I got a neighbor who got tired of trimming around his big trees, his little trees. So he's put mulch around those trees up about 6-8 inches. I'm telling him he's going to kill the trees. Am I right or wrong?
You are 100% correct. That root flare being covered with mulch, it will stay moist all the time, and it'll eventually rot the bark. And then you're going to get things that get inside the bark, insects and fungus, and it'll definitely, over time, yes, it will harm the tree.
Even 20-year-old trees, am I correct?
Yep. Yes, yep. You're absolutely
okay.
Correct.
Thank you very much.
All right, good luck to you on that conversation. It's a lot of us have mulch around our trees, and it looks pretty. I understand the desire to do that, Bob, but you want us to carve out a hole around the perimeter of the trunk, right?
Yeah, they call it volcanoing, where it looks like the tree is coming out of a volcano top, and that's absolutely the worst thing for the flare of the tree. So you want to, as you say, you want to make like a saucer around it if you want. It'll help hold the moisture, or just... Everybody likes the fresh mulch. I get it, I agree. So just plan on every 3 years taking the old stuff out and putting in new, so you don't have that year after year buildup of mulch.
And how far back should I pull the mulch away from the trunk of the tree?
Just so it's exposed.
Six, eight inches, something like that. A foot.
Yeah, that's plenty.
Really?
Right, that's plenty. You just don't want to have make a bowl either, where water's going to sit in the bowl.
Really? Because that's a nice place to put the water, and then all goes blah, 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 down.
No, you really want to water it closer to the drip line anyway.
I got to tell you, I've been doing that. I've been watering my tree, and I'm like, okay, I hope the roots are here. It's like mining for gold. I see here's where the end of the branches are, and then I go straight down. And now I'm a distance from the tree that I'm like, I don't know where the roots are. It would seem to me like they'd be closer to the trunk. But I'm banking on you telling me that they are as far away from the trunk of the tree as the leaves are at the furthest most branches. Is that right?
Yes. And if you're not right on the perimeter of the drip line, if you want to go in 2 or 3 feet, you're going to find plenty of fibrous roots there. But you don't want to just water right at the trunk, because those roots are old and They're completely covered with bark, and they're not the ones that are taking up the nutrients. It's the ones at the end, the fibrous roots at the end.
Carrie, you're on WGN with Bob Bertog. Hi, Carrie.
Hey, Bob. Hey, John.
Hey.
Hey, Bob, I heard you talking about the rolling of the lawn. My neighbors were doing that this weekend. They had it done. They had a huge one. You mentioned a small one, huge one. A, my lawn is in pretty good shape, but it is pretty mushy. So, A, what does that actually do? And B, you said big roller, small roller. What do you recommend?
Okay, so let me clarify that. The rolling I was talking about earlier was when you put down grass seed. You just want to use a real light roller to put some pressure on the seed so it all kind of mats the seed down.
And that was after you aerated. You said that was after you aerated. Right. But go ahead, Bob.
But then okay. when you see people rolling, just to roll with those big heavy rollers, that's actually very bad for the ground. You know, you're creating compaction. It's the opposite of what the core aeration does. So when I say rolling over the seed, it's just a real light application, just so the seed comes in better contact with the top dressing mix. But heavy rolling, leave that to the golf courses on the greens and on the fairways where they know, you know, it's total turf management where if you do it on your lawn at home, you're actually creating more compaction. You're going to have more trouble down the road.
A lot of us have these lumpy lawns, and we try and even out the little hills. And I think that's what motivates people, Bob.
Well, I think, yeah, and there's a process called top dressing where you take a topsoil, compost, sand mix, and you go right over the top of the grass, and it'll help fill in those voids. You do the core aeration and the top dressing, and after a couple of seasons, all of that will start to level out.
Good luck to you, Carrie. I'm glad you called. We go next to, I think it's Mark's turn. You're on WGN. Hi, Mark.
Hello, guys. Hey, we had cicadas by the thousands last summer, and after their emergence, they left shells everywhere, lawn, landscaping, trees. Is that going to have any impact on what happens this year?
No, it shouldn't. It'll actually be good for the tree. It's organic matter getting back into the soil. And the plants will take it up. It's actually good for the soil.
Hey, Bob Bertog, can I fertilize my trees now and also treat them with bug repellent?
Well, yes to the fertilizing. I don't know what you're trying to target with an insecticide. You have to be more specific on what you're going after. There's not a lot happening right now in trees as far as insects go. Right now you're dealing more with fungus coming out on like your crab trees and stuff. So you're dealing with that more than any insecticides right now.
Ask Bob if I can put down the rest of the fall fertilizer I have left over from last year. It's the fourth one in the Scotts plan.
I don't know the analysis of the fertilizer, but typically those have more, they have less nitrogen. And this is the time of year you want more nitrogen, and those have more phosphorus, which is for the roots. It's not going to hurt anything, but you're not going to get the same results as you would with a higher nitrogen fertilizer in the spring.
I understand that impulse. You got that stuff sitting right there, and you figure, well, it's not going to hurt. Maybe I'll throw that in there. But then if you did it with the first step, that might be a mistake. Or what about that, Bob?
That's too much. There will still be nitrogen in there, and then if you put down the spring, which is going to be heavier on the nitrogen side, that's too much.
Bob's the president of the Bertog Landscape Company in Wheeling. He's a certified landscape professional with the National Association of Landscape Pros. Okay, that's it for today. I hope you can join us again next week, Bob.
I'll be here, John. Have a great week.
As will we.